Hi there, this is Brian from the No Name Nerd Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of Where All Nerds Belong, the site of the best freaking community of nerds on the internet. My goal in this podcast is to provide meaningful and substantively useful information that will help nerds who are trying to grow their online presence and pursue personal fulfillment through their passion for nerd and geek activities. I'm here to help nerd culture grow and to help you nerds make the world a little more nerdy, and I believe better as a result.
That is Craigbot.
You see what I'm saying? Creepy. I've got one of those like voice modulator things. I think I could actually replicate that a little bit.
You know, if I did perpetually use Craig, I would probably have to take the audio of everybody's comment when he activates and piece it together into something, because I think it'd be hilarious. Bring up my notes. Oh yeah. So this is Brian from the No Name Nerd, and today we are joined by Wonderbread, one of the newest No Name Nerd community staff who has joined our Facebook group, Nerds Belong Here, as one of our mods. Hey, Wonderbread has been an active member of our community for a few months now, has hosted one of our happy hours, and is particularly well known for excellent bread puns. And I'm not just saying that to butter you up. I just want to make sure that you're not crusty during the interview.
If I didn't start bread pun, I'd be feeling a little crummy there.
Okay, I see. I knew even if I didn't warn you that I was going to do that, that you would have a rejoinder. I had that kind of confidence in you.
Always. I keep all my bread puns in my pantry.
and that, in fact, is my distinct memory of it. It must have been right after you joined the server. It was an extended bout of puns traded back and forth.
It was the first day. I was like, my legacy now. Bread pun.
It is. And you know, and I feel like now that we've put it in the podcast, it's going to be solidified even further.
Oh, yes. This is a good legacy to leave behind.
I'm telling you, if I can leave that kind of legacy behind, I'll feel like I've left a meaningful mark.
Yes.
I would take satisfaction. So I guess maybe we should just start out by having you introduce yourself a little bit and just sharing a little information.
Okay, so I'm Wonderbread, aka Leash. That's what I go by day to day, since we obviously are not going by our screen names in real life. I am in my 30s. I am a Virginia-based streamer who has only been streaming for a little under a year, but I have been playing video games since the 80s, so managed to take something that I love and be able to share it with everyone else, which I enjoy quite a bit.
And just so you feel better, I've also been playing video games since the 80s. And I've had more than one retro flashback during these podcasts.
I have done a few retro streaming nights too, in which I remember that old video games are hard.
You know, kids these days have it so easy.
They have like infinite continues and stuff like that. I mean, at least Dark Souls lets you pick back up an infinite amount of times. Streets of Rage, you only have so many times. It's like, yeah, sorry, you're done. Goodbye.
Respawn was not a thing.
No, it wasn't. And it makes me sad. But at the same time, it's a fun challenge.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Well, no, I have, because I've gone back and played some of the old stuff, and I have a brief nostalgic moment, and then I kind of lose interest. So I think maybe I've moved past some of that as well.
I do have that sometimes. I got one of the Sega Classic for Christmas from my husband.
Oh yeah,
Husbred on the channel, and I sat there, it's like, oh my god, Road Rash is on here, and Streets of Rage, and Sonic, and Altered Beast, and then I'm like, wow, either I have grown rusty with these old games, or I just always sucked, and nobody told me.
Well, you know, I do know that my ability to evaluate my skill at anything as a child was questionable.
Oh yeah.
I'll just say it that way.
There's a lot of things about childhood that are questionable, including our taste in things.
Well, I mean, here's what I tell my kids. that, you know, this is my bit of advice for a lot of people. I live by giving people advice for better or for worse. Sometimes asked for, sometimes not. You know, hey, what you like when you're a kid, like, you're not really supposed to like that when you're older. Like, tastes are supposed to change. Or the example I've used, like, you know, maybe your habits and friends, partners, and as a teenager, that may or may not be something you want to carry forward. I'm just saying, our tastes change. They should for change. Sure. We evolve. We should for evolve. Sure. It's what we want.
I will say, I did marry my high school sweetheart, and we have been together for over 20 years. So,
so that was a terrible example. Is what you're saying?
Don't change, but some of the people that I knew back in high school, I have grown apart from, and I have gained newer friends. So, I mean, it does hold true in a lot of cases, but there's always exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
I think what helped is my husband and I, we grew together. So that way it's not so much changing and growing apart. It's moving forward together. That's the way I would look at it.
No, that's a better framing of it. And I offer it as a general pattern that things change, not necessarily that all things change.
Exactly.
Or that that they can't change together, which is
exactly.
So speaking of the 80s, then, how did you get into gaming, and or more recently, how did you get into streaming in the past year?
Well, originally getting into gaming, our next door neighbor had an NES, and I would go there after school because my parents worked. So I would be there for like an hour or so while the babysitter was there, and we'd play NES and Paperboy and the Nintendo Baseball and Super Mario Brothers. And so I got into it through those. I feel like that was every 80s child's gateway. And then
it was the gateway,
exactly. And then I became the coolest kid on the block because a year later, I get the Sega Genesis. And I am in my bits. And it was the OG Sega Genesis because it came with Altered Beast. So I got to go around playing a Grecian undead werewolf, which I spent many hours doing. And I think my dad ended up playing video games almost as much as I did. Every Thursday night, it'd be Fairy Tale Adventure in the living room. And he spent like 3 hours stuck in one building because he couldn't find the key. And it was like a really old, old RPG game. And I have distinct memories of that one night where he just could not get out of this manor. And I have the theme song seared into my memory. From that, it was a very distinct song. But in terms of more recent streaming things, it's funny how it started because I tend to hyperfixate on things, and my big gaming fandom is Soul Calibur, just my favorite series of all time. And I was telling my friend Sarah, who's now my mod on my channel, about Soul Calibur, and she was like, "Do you stream? I would like to watch you play through some of the story." And I'm like, "No, but let me try." So it just started out as going through all the story modes in Soul Calibur 6 and doing that on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And then it was just like, this is actually kind of fun. And I'm getting people watching my stream. And so it just started out from there and then just kind of branched out. I stream fewer days a week, and I stream more games, but it kind of grew from there.
So if I'm doing my math right, though, you're kind of like a pandemic streamer then.
I am. I started in May, so right around the time of my birthday. So I did start during pandemic, and it's been a good way for me to connect to people because I'm an extroverted introvert.
Yeah.
And I do like seeing my friends for short periods of time, and then I go back home. But this is great because I can be as extroverted as I need to be, and I don't feel like I'm expending too much of that introvert energy.
That makes sense. In the one of the things I'm always curious about for people is like kind of what motivates them to stream, and it didn't really even occur to me until I was talking to you just now how many people likely started streaming like during the pandemic. Now that we're sort of, you know, the day we're recording this, roughly 1 year since the official start, if you use like the WHO sort of pandemic designation.
Monday will mark the 1 year since I've been working from home.
Wow.
And it's been crazy.
So like how can you tell me more maybe about how like streaming has like helped you through the past year? I've tried not to make podcast questions too much about the pandemic, but then has been part of our lives.
Yeah, it's become the normal. I mean, it's been a year. It's helped a lot because at first I was okay with the pandemic. I was like, okay, I can stay home and not have to drive anywhere. This is fine. Everything's fine. I live with my husband and a roommate. We're good. And then I just started to feel really lonely and I started actually getting depressed. So streaming has actually really helped with that. It's been a good outlet to talk to others, watch other people's streams, just kind of building like a streaming network and then like strengthening friendships through that and playing games with other people on their streams. It's been really good for my mental health. And while I actually have chronic illness, so my physical health means sometimes I can't always have the energy to stream every day that I'm scheduled, it still gives me something to look forward to in the week where it's like, hey, I get to hang out with my friends tonight and play video games and we're all going to have a great time and talk about whatever the heck we want to because it's my channel and I can do what I want within reason because Twitch will ban me if I play Tony Hawk with all the songs playing.
There are, for better or for worse, corporate controls that still exist.
Yes, unfortunately. I've had a few videos that got muted because I forgot to turn off the music on Tony Hawk, or I got into a car in Grand Theft Auto and the radio started playing. I was like, oh crap, nope, can't do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I feel like two things you said kind of describe how streaming is right in the middle of this spectrum where there used to be sort of private life and public life. And so like private life is, you know, being at home and like, or spending time maybe with friends and family. And then if you were going to put yourself out there, it was probably through a television set or in a movie theater. And there were all these layers, right? Like if you're going to be a famous movie star, right? There are all these layers that you had to go through before a lot of people could see you. And if you think of it as a spectrum right now, like you can plug yourself into Twitch and you can be out there and as many people can watch you as are willing. You know what I mean? Like there's no limit theoretically to the number of people watch you. So in some ways, there are fewer controls compared to like traditional movie. We'll use movies because I like movies, but at the same time, like as somebody who is the star of the show, right? Your expectations are also a lot more intimate. That you're not thinking about it as I'm going to go on a show when you stream. You're thinking about it as, hey, I'm going to go hang out with my friends.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I do think of it like I'm going to be on a show, but that's because I have a theater background and I'm a host and producer on a web show. So I get into performance mode. My brain just automatically goes, I'm putting on a show. We're hanging out, but I'm putting on a show. So this is, I got to get my game face on and we're all going to hang out and I'm going to entertain the heck out of you while playing video games. So my brain, maybe I do it a little differently. I'm sure there's others that do it that way too, but just my brain, as soon as that camera's rolling, it's like, all right, action time, let's do this.
My feeling is the people that do it well know that let me say this carefully. I think that the people who are really looking to grow their following and really want a lot of viewers, like, understand that it's got to have a show part to it.
Oh yeah,
on some level, like, you know, that show could be educational, that show could be entertainment, it could be comedy, it could be drama, whatever it is, there's got to be a show element.
My favorite thing is I am one of those people that just absorbs a ridiculous amount of pop culture knowledge and just like random trivia. Yeah. And if I know something about something coming up in the game, I will drop that knowledge. One of the things for me is like when playing Soul Calibur, I'm a history nerd. So if something comes up, it's like, well, that's not historically accurate, but I mean, it's Soul Calibur. Or if something historically accurate does come up, I'll be like, oh, so did you know this character is connected to like Henry, Duke of Guise, according to the art book, who was a real guy who lived in this time period and blah, blah, blah. And so it's like, I like dropping little knowledge nuggets during streams because it's just like, I know this cool thing and I want to share this with you.
And that is a wonderfully nerdy thing to do. So I appreciate information bombs being distributed throughout anything.
For real. I like learning. It's fun. I feel I've learned more now that I'm out of school than I have when I was in school. And that's because I have sought it out on my own.
Well, and you know, I think that, gosh, see, this sounds like an old person thing to say. Damn it. You don't appreciate it when you're in school. I think that people do. I've known a lot of people, not everybody certainly, but a lot of people that once they left school, they kind of miss having that mental stimulation.
Oh yeah.
That curiosity and that the critical thinking and just the mental engagement is.
Yeah, the mental stimulation.
Yeah. Because I mean, the truth is, like, you never. I think whatever you're doing with your life, right, if you're going to do well at it, and again, there's some people who are content for stasis, so it kind of remain the same. But I think if you're going to do well at anything, you have to be continuously learning. And the more you can embrace that, the better, the happier you'll be.
I'll put it that way. Absolutely. 100%.
So you recently joined the No Name Nerd, recently, like, wait, yesterday? 2 days ago?
Yeah, I think it's not yesterday, but the night before.
Yeah, joined us as a mod on the Facebook group, which is going to be great because the Facebook group predates, it is the oldest online community for the No Name Nerd.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't, and you know, I probably never said it out loud until just now, because I kicked it off when I started the company in 2018, but it was also kind of I don't want to say chaotic, but maybe I should just say chaotic. It was always kind of one that just was pretty autonomous, and then it got a little bit out of control, and then last year after we had the Discord community running, we were like, all right. We've got like 4,000 or 5,000 people over here, and you know what? We just need to like clean this up a little bit.
Yeah, it is Facebook, which Facebook can be useful, but it can also be a cesspool sometimes. A lot of times.
Yeah. Well, and what scares me, although I think the group has worked out great both on Discord and Facebook, that communities can really turn directions that they were not intended when they were set up. And I think there are some people who, bad actors, I guess would be the phrase maybe, who really, I think, sometimes try to take communities and take them in directions they shouldn't go. And so I always try and acknowledge the hard work that you've just volunteered for, you know, and the contribution of community members to maintaining the quality of the community, that it's, I think it's important. I think good communities require active engagement.
Oh yeah,
you know, and they require the commitment of community members like yourself. So I thought I would ask, you know, and just, you know, tell me a little about why you're involved in the community, and since you already said yes to helping out as a mod, like why? I don't know, just your how you stumbled across us, why you've stayed involved, you've been, you know, hosted happy hour, things like that.
I think I stumbled across you guys on Facebook, actually, a Facebook ad, and I was like, oh. Merch and swag, and I'm not buying gas for my car because I'm not going anywhere, so I can afford stuff like this. And a chance to grow my channel? Sure, why not? And I got the acceptance really quick, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. So that actually kind of kickstarted me trying to really take my stream more seriously in terms of like how it looks, how I set things up, how I have like an introduction and everything. Cause it's just like, oh, well, this is a community now. And then, you know, watching other people's streams, talking to other people. I like people. I like interacting with people, especially like-minded people. I've been a nerd since before it was cool. Yeah. I'm going to say that I was a proto nerd.
a proto nerd. Ooh, I'm going to reuse that one.
That's cool now. I was into when I was like 7 or 8. And I'm not going to be one of those people where it's like, they have it so easy. It's like, no, I want you to have it easy because I went through a lot. I want you to have accessibility to this awesome stuff that you are into right now, because that's great. And I think stuff like, you know, these communities are great for people who, you know, maybe they don't fit in other places, and there's a community for them where they can fit in and gush about all their nerdy things to their heart's content and just be unabashedly themselves. And I think that kind of thing is really important. We need more spaces where we can feel free to be ourselves.
Yeah, I think that was well said. And that's always, I think, been the goal of the community, to be honest with you. And I don't know if podcast listeners have perhaps heard this story, but I'll share very briefly with you that when I started the company, I actually, there are a few people, I guess, who motivated me, and including my wife and my kids. But I have very distinct memories of a student of mine who introduced himself awkwardly as a nerd, and clearly, and you like playing board games and stuff like that, like a ton and stuff, you know, but was clearly embarrassed by it. And, you know, this is a very high achieving, very smart guy, very not necessarily what you imagine in terms of being socially awkward and things like that. And clearly for him, you know, and we were in a place where, you know, at a university where knowledge is held in high esteem, and he was still kind of embarrassed, right, to describe himself as a nerd. And I was like, oh gosh, you know, despite all of these technologies that we have connecting us, despite the fact that we are right now in a place that like values education, he still feels awkward about this. I mean, clearly we have some room to make progress. I'll say it that way.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a ways to go before things are as inclusive as I think they should be. And, you know, your description of being an outsider, a whole lot of ways. I mean, that applies in a whole lot of ways. And, you know,
oh, yeah. And I think what's great is one of the things I've loved watching is I've been playing D&D since 99. And now seeing that D&D is like marketing itself is for everyone, and more people are getting into D&D. It's easier to get into D&D. It's cool to get into D&D. All these celebrities are playing it, and I'm just like, oh my god, I'm not a geek anymore, but in a good way. Like, I'm one of the cool kids now, I say, as I'm like turning 38 this year and still thinking in terms of cool kids. But it's so cool to see like all this stuff that was considered nerdy and uncool, and you're ostracized for it. And yeah, board games too. We have like half of our bookshelf, or we have actually a separate bookshelf that's just all board games of different types. Like the really fancy board games where there's like 5 million pages of rules and 5,000 pieces that you hope your cat doesn't get into. And it's fun. Being a nerd, you know, is fun.
I know. And here's what as I've gone through, because I have a tendency to analyze stuff, but that's me being a nerd, I guess. You know, and you think about all the things that you described, like the board games, the Dungeons and Dragons, so like the role-playing games, the even earlier, like some of the discussions about video games. And what are we really talking about? Like, what is it that unifies these activities? Well, it's social interaction, right? It's playing together. It's, you know, engaging with people. It's problem solving, right? It is using your imagination. It's being creative. It's all of these things that are just really, really important that, you know, like you said, for a long time, and I think still now, are undervalued.
Oh, and yeah.
It's just, to me, so much baked in nerd activities. Creativity, problem solving, logical reasoning, cooperation, right? I mean, there are whole segments of society that still speak ill of the idea of cooperation.
And it's funny because a lot of these things, they actually are really great for building up confidence, for building on creativity, for building on teamwork, and all this other stuff. Like, there's actually, I think I'm using this word right. My brain's a little foggy because it's Friday and stuff, but like intrinsically important skills that are built by these kind of games. And people are just like, that's so dorky. It's like, yeah, but you know what? If they were introduced earlier and if they weren't stigmatized, a whole lot of kids would probably be more socially well-adjusted and ostracized and have stronger skills.
Yeah, and you know, so the other concept that I hadn't really thought about until we were talking is this idea of the pandemic streamer, right? Like somebody who kind of started during the pandemic as a nerd response to managing some of the challenges, the mental health challenges of the pandemic. And I've often thought that people who had the skill set, like the skill set that you have, that were able to adjust to the pandemic. Oh, you know, I'm good. I'm lonely. I want some social connection. So I'm going to, you know, connect with these online communities. I'm going to develop my own online community. I'm going to begin streaming. That, you know, what you had is a skill set that you were able to use to adjust to a difficult circumstance. And the truth is, not everybody has that skill set. Not everybody is able to make that kind of turn. And I think to me, that's another reason that these things that we're talking about, these skills that you learn by playing Dungeons and Dragons are important skills, and not just important skills in terms of, oh, like you're creative and you can write a book. I think that is actually extraordinarily important, but I mean, I think there's a real practical application.
Absolutely. 100%.
And I'll also note, by the way, because you like factoids, that, you know, one of the strongest predictors of life expectancy is social connections. So, you know, if you want to maintain health, having friends is actually a great and very scientifically proven way to increase your life expectancy.
Yes. And I feel like streaming is way better than the weekly Zoom calls I have to do with work, because at least with streaming, we're doing something fun. And I feel like a lot of people are burned out on webcams right now, the people that aren't streaming, because it's just like, I have another work meeting. And it's just like, because of streaming, I am better prepared for working from home. It's funny how it worked out, because like I have all the equipment. I can do the meetings. I have like multiple monitors to multitask things at work. Yeah. And it's like streaming prepared me for this, and gaming.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I maybe I'll do a podcast someday of how nerds adapted to the pandemic. But, you know, it was a meme. I've seen various memes related to it. But I think there are memes that are funny because they're not true, and there are memes that are funny because they are true. And I think introverted, technology-driven individuals adapted more readily than I think some others.
For sure. I definitely think that, because I know the first couple of weeks we were doing the meetings and everyone's like trying to figure out web cameras or using their phones. And I've got my webcam. I've got my nice lighting set up. I've got it so that I'm not distracted while trying to work at the same time. Yeah. I've got three monitors going, and it's just like, yeah, it's ridiculous, but it works.
So that might be a nice transition to my next question, which is, you know, for people who are just getting started and they're interested in getting into streaming, or maybe they just got started streaming, like what do you think is important? What would you recommend? Or is there anything that you see people doing wrong that you want to give them a heads up on?
I recommend, if you want to do it because you love it. If you're not having fun, they're going to know. It's going to be apparent. So if you're in the middle of something and you're playing a game you've never tried before and you're not liking it, switch games. No one's making you be dedicated to that one game but yourself. Switch games. Or if you find something's not working for you, if make sure you're having fun, because that's the biggest key, I think. Because especially if you're on camera, it shows through. Faces tell on us all the time. All the time. So just like, I had a situation where I was playing Resident Evil 3 Remake for Halloween. And once I got to like the second weekend, I'm like, I can't do this because it's a beautiful game. I'm not good at it. And it's showing. I'm more frustrated than having fun. And that's taking the enjoyment away from everyone else. So that's a big one, is make sure you're doing it because you're having fun, and make sure you're playing games that you enjoy. The other one I'd say is engage. Make sure you've got something going on where you can see the chat window and talk to your audience. If there's even just one person there, talk to them. If there's no one in there, talk anyways, because someone's going to show up eventually. And they don't want to come in and see you just staring at the screen, or if you're not using a camera, just the game and nothing else. They could just go on YouTube and watch videos. So I think engagement and making sure that fun is the top priority for yourself are the biggest keys, because it brings other people in. They want to be there for a good time. And if you're not having a good time, and if you're not talking to people, they're not having a good time.
No, I think that's really important. And I also like your comparison to YouTube, right? That what is the difference between hopping on YouTube and watching a video and a live stream? Well, it's that opportunity for interaction. And, you know, it's the, I would even offer like a bit of the unpredictability.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, we've got movies. Why does anybody go to the theater? Well, they go to the theater because there is something different about watching it while it happens.
Exactly. Every performance, there's something different. Even if they do the script the entire way, the whole way through, there's always something different. And again, that's coming from me as a theater kid and having been in plays. Every night's performance was a little bit different. So it is, a lot of it is the unpredictability.
And I think there's, and you know, I think that brings a different energy. You know, when you're engaging in something that is live, like you're saying, like sometimes the differences are subtle, sometimes the differences are significant, but I think it brings a different energy. And I think that resonates with people, especially, you know, when they're maybe hungry, I would say, for human connection. That's why, you know, Twitch saw some pretty significant increases in viewership last year.
Oh yeah. Like I didn't even really watch that many Twitches before the pandemic, to be honest, because I used to be of the mindset where it's just like, why watch other people play video games when I could play video games? And then I started to realize to interact with them, to talk to them, to hear what they think about the game they're playing or what their experience is, or to just ask them, hey, how's your day? And just connect. And that's the big word there, is connecting.
So I part of my background is studying food. And which is funny because you're Wonder Bread, but whatever.
Yes.
And
my husband's also a really good cook too. So
I know, like someday we're having a No-Name Nerd potluck because we have these food discussions and posts, and like it's going to have to happen someday. But I remember reading an article once about talking about why do people go out to restaurants, right? That, you know, going out to restaurants is really like not a cost-effective way. And, you know, even in many cases, it would be cheaper to hire somebody to cook for you than it would be to go to a restaurant. Depends on the kind of restaurant you're going to and where you live and things. But but the point of the article was actually a social one, and pointing out that, you know, as social human beings, we often enjoy being around people even when we're not, talking to them or engaging with them, that people go to restaurants to see people and to be seen by people. And they don't mean that like in a vain way, not like I'm going to get all dressed up and I want people to look at me and be like, oh, that person looks awesome. I mean, like we just feel better knowing that, to be in the presence of people, to be, have the opportunity to acknowledge that other people exist and to have other people acknowledge that we exist, that for us, that is really just a fundamentally validating activity. And I think for a lot of people, they are stuck at home and they're struggling to find that simple validation that they exist. And I think that, you know, streaming, or even like you're describing about your tips of you should reach out and you should engage and you need to make sure to acknowledge people, even if it's only one person on your stream, that I think that engagement is more important than people realize. And maybe I'm kind of hoping that it's something that people can walk away from COVID realizing it was important, even though they didn't appreciate it before this.
I feel like we're going to have a whole bunch of people that are going to be touch starved after all this. And just like they want that interaction with someone for sure. And it's funny too, because you mentioned I'm laughing at this part. You mentioned that it's not for vanity's sake, but I have totally used streaming as an excuse to dress up in cool outfits and try fun things with my makeup and like get my hair all done, because what other time do I have to do it? I'm not going anywhere, so I've put on a costume for everyone else.
Well, I mean, I would suggest that's for entertainment, not necessarily like vanity, and that could be fun without being vanity. Yeah. And vanity, hell, if it's just for vanity's sake, I don't really care either. More power to you. Like, I'm not judging. I just wanted to comment on the base level. Like,
but yeah, like no, to I totally agree. And it's like, I spent my birthday last year at home, like many people did.
Yeah.
And the birthday before that, we went to this really great place in Northern Virginia called Iron Age. It's a Korean barbecue place. And they play
I love K-pop. Korean barbecue.
Oh, it's so good. And they play K-pop really loud. And it's like pretty dark lit, but they've got like colorful lights everywhere. And every time there's a birthday, and everybody goes there for their birthday, because you hear their birthday song like every 15 minutes. And the music suddenly changes. It's like air horns. They come out with like a bottle of beverage, alcoholic or non-alcoholic. And it's a huge celebration. And it's just like, I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss just the experience of being humiliated in front of other people on my birthday with that big parade of people singing. I miss watching other people enjoy their dinner while I'm enjoying mine. As weird as that sounds, I'm not a voyeur, I swear.
No, it's not weird at all. Like, that's exactly what I'm saying. That I think it's something that people don't realize. We didn't realize how much a part of our lives that was until so much of it was removed.
Yeah, and I miss seeing people smile. I have like 30 masks. I have so many different colors and patterns.
Yeah.
Because I had them I had some before the pandemic because of my severe asthma. But I miss seeing smiles. And I can't wait until we can do that again. And it's not just behind a screen, but I think that getting to see emotion in real time on streams is also a big one, because it's just, there's a face and they're emoting and it's great.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. There are times where especially in the beginning, I have preferred to see people on computer screens to face to face, because the masks, it took me a while to get used to interacting where I didn't have those nonverbal cues of like a facial expression.
Yeah, especially like with me, I've got glasses, I got my mask, and I usually am wearing a hat when I'm out. So it's just like, I am a mystery.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. All right, I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
And this is the important one.
All right.
Worth $10,000. No, I don't know.
Ooh,
it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. It's $10,000 pretend dollars.
$10,000. All right.
You know, I'm going to digress, but I used to make fun of like fake money. You know, what is it? Wait, don't tell me. You ever? Okay, it doesn't matter. It's a podcast. Actually, it's a radio show.
Heard of it, though. I've heard of Wait, Don't Tell Me. It was on, wasn't that on PBS?
Or not? Oh, PBS? No, it is on PBS. It's not Wait, Don't Tell Me I was thinking of. It's Drew Carey was on it. It was the...
Whose line is it?
Yeah, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And just, Drew Carey, he would always go, and, you know, it's worth 10,000 points, but the points don't matter anyway.
And the points don't matter.
There we go. Oh, see, okay. I had to circle around it, and I needed your help, Runder Red.
Theater nerd. I know these things. Improv is fun.
But okay, so this is maybe only funny for me as a sociologist, that I always thought that was funny, and then you start looking at things like Bitcoin and V-Bucks, and you realize fake money is worth something. So sometimes it's worth a lot.
Graphics cards, darn it.
What's that? I'm sorry.
And it's keeping me from being able to get better graphics cards.
The fake money.
Yes.
And the real money.
The fake money.
You need Bitcoin to go up a little higher. 57,000 this morning.
Well, no, I need Bitcoin to stop using graphics cards to mine.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Stop. I want the new graphics card, darn it.
It's not great for the environment either, but that's another story. Okay, but the real fake $10,000 question, what does it mean to be a nerd to you?
I think what it means to be a nerd is to be true to yourself, to love what you love with such a passion that everyone else looking at it would be like, well, that's kind of nerdy, that's kind of geeky, but it's your thing, it's your passion, it's being weird and being true to yourself and just like a rainbow of all the joy you get from all the things that you love, no matter how ridiculous it may be, no matter how unpopular it is. It's just loving what you do and loving yourself for being that and for being into those things and just being unabashedly you. That's been my whole motto in life, and that's what being a nerd means to me.
No, I love it. And I think every time I ask this question, what I like about it is you see the sort of seed of maybe going back to the 80s. I don't know. I'd have to think about it more. But going back to the 80s, maybe, or 90s, of like some of the stereotypes of what a nerd is. And then, but you also see it evolving and turning into something that I think is really powerful in terms of it's now, you know, it's got emotional components to it. It's got elements of authenticity to it. And I think that even if you go back to some of the more negative stereotypes, you kind of see the seed of it there. And I think I feel like it's growing into something that's much more positive and really what it should be. And I think can be a real positive archetype. That's not a great catchy word, but a real positive image for people as well.
Yeah, so I think,
appreciate your comments.
I think nerd should not be a dirty word anymore.
I'm on board. As a no-name nerd, I'm totally on board. Well, Wonder Bread, I want to thank you for your time and your help with the no-name nerd community and for being such a wonderful and active and positive member. That it's always fun to drop a few puns with you, you know, when I'm hanging out on my couch loafing around. That's all I got. That's all I got.
Oh, goodness. Well, they did used to call me the Punisher for a reason. I know it's not bread related, but that is a true anecdote. And thank you for having me. It's been a blast, and I am happy to be in a more official capacity of the No Name Nerd family.
And we're more than happy to have you on board.
Yay.
And I'm trying to remember what the command is to make Craig go away. Leave podcast.
A newspaper, it might work.
I know. Hold on. We can hear him talk creepy. Craig, leave podcast.
Hey there. I'm excited to be welcoming some of our No Name Nerd community on to give shout outs to their stream. If you're interested in having your stream mentioned on our podcast, just head to anchor.fm/no name nerd and make sure to click on the message button and then just record a message that is 30 seconds to a minute. Feel free to plug your stream and maybe you will be selected to appear on the air, just like the recording here.
Hey guys, just want to stop by, say thank you for everything you guys do for small streamers. We all appreciate it. I look forward to listening to more. Thank you again.
So remember, if you are a nerd who loves to game, stream, read, watch, play, and are interested in promoting a welcoming and inclusive nerd culture, you belong with us. Just head to nonamenerd.com and join one of our online communities. If you want to get an in-depth understanding about how to grow the audience of your stream or bolster your followers, head to mynerdschool.com for professional courses for streamers and gamers looking to take their online presence to the next level. This is Brian from the No Name Nerd. Thanks for joining me.